the native population itself turned over Jews and killed them and helped destroy them. But by the end of 1649, Khmelnytsky's fortune started to change. His allies, the Tartars, who, as I mentioned before, were very good businessmen, had very little idealism, had no loyalty, were bought off by the Poles, and they switched sides in the middle. And instead of supporting the Cossacks and Khmelnytsky, now they turned and fought against him and fought with the Poles. Khmelnytsky finally realized that the jig was up, so in 1650 he signed what was called then the Compact of Zborów, which was a treaty signed in the Polish city of Zborów that called an end to the revolution and the war and legally solidified the gains that he had made and gave autonomy to the Cossack state, but promised that the war was over. However, there was a song after the First World War that, how are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris? Well, the Cossacks were not ready to go home. After almost 3 years of uninterrupted war and pillaging and robbery and murder, it said he wasn't going to go home and plant potatoes. And Khmelnytsky lost control of his alleged army. He was unable to discipline them. And what happened was that in 1651, the Cossack army again attacked the Poles. This time the Poles won. And here in the irony of all ironies, when the Poles won, then they came into the areas where the Jews were and they slaughtered the Jews. And because of the fact that they accused the Jews of being traitors, that the Jews somehow were on the side of Khmelnytsky. Again, this is a story that would repeat itself in the First World War in Eastern Europe, where the Jews in the area that was contested between the Germans and the Russians, both sides accused the Jews of being spies, both sides accused the Jews of being disloyal, and both sides wreaked terrible retribution and retaliations against the Jews for imagined treachery. In 1652, the Tartars changed their minds again, having milked the Poles for all that they could. Now they joined Khmelnytsky again, and the revolution started again. And then to further complicate this chaos, in 1652, an enormous plague of cholera swept Poland and Russia. So if you've got a picture of the times, I would just want to mention to you that during this period of time, Reb Shabsai HaKohen wrote his famous Perush the Shach on Yerideya while he was a refugee fleeing. We think that the Shach was written, you know, in a comfortable book-lined study with a nice desk and a tensor high-intensity lamp and a nice comfortable chair. It was written on the road in the middle of a cholera epidemic, and 300,000 Jews are being slaughtered by the raging mobs. It has to give you pause as to the accomplishment and the type of people whom we're talking about. This cholera epidemic really ended the stability of whatever was left of the Jewish communities in Poland, in Russia, and in Lithuania. The Jews now fled wherever they could. Jews began to arrive in Amsterdam. The Jews who had fled Western Europe to go to Eastern Europe now began to retrace their steps and return to Western Europe. Jews moved further east into Russia. For the first time now, we have sizable Jewish settlements 100 and 200 miles further east, all into Mother Russia, because of the fact that they were looking to escape.